I got no power.
Are your lights out too?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened here, but wait a minute.
Squirrels?
It's squirrels. That happened after Redeemer. Squirrel blew out the system.
Yeah, but that's Redeemer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But do you live next door to me?
You're in the blue house?
Yeah.
I'm next door to you. How long have you been there?
Like years, right?
You're kidding.
Yeah. You're my neighbor.
Huh.
But wait a minute.
You never called on me, though.
I know.
Because you were there before me.
I've been busy.
Oh.
Really busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, what kind of busy?
Sorry?
What kind of busy?
I'll tell you later. But
okay.
Wait, there's another guy, right?
Okay, we have lots of neighbors on the street.
The guy who lives across the street.
This guy. Is your power out too, or is it just me?
Yeah. Oh. We thought it was squirrels.
Oh.
Dropped on a power line or something?
Yeah. Or maybe those rabid raccoons.
Yeah, that could be.
I thought it was just Toronto that had raccoons. So,
wait a minute. We're all neighbors. You're our neighbor too.
How close are you to him? Because it took him a year to get to me.
Oh, I just live right here.
Okay.
Have you guys lived here long?
I've been just 6 or 7 months, but he's been here a couple of years.
I've never visited.
Oh. Yeah. I've lived here for about 5 years. I don't think we've ever met.
No.
Do you have a phone I could use?
Not on me.
Oh.
But, you know, so you're... I'm Tim, and you're...
I'm Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Good to meet you. Hi, I'm Pepper.
You're Pepper.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
nice to meet you.
You know what? Now that we know we're neighbors, we should really talk.
About what?
About... Well, I think about being neighbors in the church, and especially about some meetings. I think I saw you guys at some meetings lately, right at Leamington.
You look a little familiar.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
I went to Leamington.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I went with a guy who didn't say a word all the way down.
Yeah.
Not a word.
That'd be me.
Was that you?
Yeah, that's what helps me.
You're my neighbor, the guy that never called on me.
Yeah, I know.
You have something you want to say?
Well, you know, sometimes it takes a power outage to bring people together. And I remember when we had an ice storm on our street, well, more than on our street, but our street was included in the ice storm, and everybody in our neighborhood was in the dark. Our neighbors came over, we played games by candlelight, and we really got to know each other. And you
what kind of games did you play in candlelight?
Well, we played... What did we play? Sorry? Oh, the Sticks and Stones game. Right. I have to teach it to you.
There. Okay, yeah.
I'll
if you could, because I'm the guy next door.
So, and I was thinking a lot about being neighbors at these meetings, maybe because the theme of MCEC meetings was being neighbors. And, you know, our houses aren't side by side, but we are neighbors to each other. Well, they are side by side. We just talked about that.
Yeah.
And we're also more than that. We're spiritual neighbors. We're church neighbors. In the same body of believers. So I was thinking about being neighbors. And you remember the guy, Wilson W. Wilson Jr., you know who that is? Mm-hmm. Remember Home Improvement, tool time, the guy with the saw on the top of his head?
Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
He spoke words of wisdom, but you never saw his whole person. You never really got to meet the guy, right? So I was thinking about how we can be good neighbors and how we can actually meet each other. Yes.
That's called knocking on the door.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah.
I should really learn how to do
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. 2 years ago, Maclean's magazine said, the evolving modern definition of a good neighbor is no longer somebody who's part of your life, somebody you chat with over the fence, a reliable shoulder in good times and bad, but somebody who doesn't bother you, either in your enjoyment of your home or by threatening its property value.
I could go for quieter neighbors. That'd be okay.
But, you know, I think that God calls us to be neighbors in a different sense. Caring for those people around us, people who are right next door to each other and actually meeting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But also doing other things. So, okay, two things I brought away with me from these meetings. I'm going to share these with you guys and see if you can resonate with these things. First thing, as neighbors within the church, we have a responsibility to care for each other, to be there for each other. So that we can all enjoy the rich blessings and resources of our faith community. We should all be able to safely go to church and worship together and celebrate together. But also, as humans, we mess up. We have the potential to hurt each other. We can't pretend that we're removed from the world and immune from harm. And so we have a sacred trust to be there for each other, to care for each other. And this is what MCEC calls its initiative to address sexual harassment and abuse and to create healthy boundaries through the efforts of SMART teams. Look, there it is, right there. Wow. You know, I'm waiting for the day when MCEC will learn how to spell. But that's an acronym. That's an acronym. Mm-hmm. Which means...
Does this mean the power's back on?
It is. It is.
Okay. Power
is
so I can go home?
Wait there. So the SMART means Sexual Misconduct and Abuse Resource Response Teams. And these teams give us information and resources about these issues, like stuff facing children and youth, because the internet is a possible risk. There's some bad stuff on the internet. There's some good stuff, too, but these teams help us to understand the risks. They help us to create strong, safe space policies, to review and update and make sure we're all well and all safe, and to help us to deal when things do go wrong, when there's incidents of abuse or...
What if somebody says it's really none of your business?
Well, the thing is that being neighbors, I mean, we have a responsibility to care for each other, though, that we are each other's keepers, in a sense. Hmm. And these teams help us to fulfill our mandate to each other and live out the sacred trust that we share. So that's it for the SMART teams. The second thing I want to share with you guys.
I wonder, before you move on, so that was Leamington. Never been to Leamington before. Lovely town. Big greenhouses.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. We got together and we talked about all these very important things, the sacred trust.
Yeah.
Hundreds of us in the room. Never been to such a thing myself. When they sort of presented about sacred trust, they said, here's resources we're developing, here are things that we're working on, and then asked us to provide feedback. But the only thing we did when we provided feedback was to talk together with our table. So I was sitting with a bunch of strangers, people I'd never met, but who were spiritual neighbors. So there were, I think, eight of us or seven of us at that time. So I took notes, and they had some questions for us. And my table was entirely in agreement about that program was a good thing. We were unanimously affirming that they should be producing these resources and supporting churches in this work. But I have no idea what anybody else in the room thought at all beyond those seven people.
You got really lucky, though. People at my table, they all left and went to other tables. Yeah, just like that. You know, I thought maybe it was me. I didn't say I came from Helton, so you mean, I came from Burlington. But I did find a table to go to, so I found some neighbors. And the table I went to, that worked very, very well. But it was a little disconcerting. You see, where are y'all going? And they all left.
Maybe we need to practice being neighbors at these meetings. I know.
Okay.
Second thing?
Carry on.
Okay. Second thing I learned is that our neighborhoods are always changing. So, for example, you might have noticed this, that neighborhoods, you know, people move out sometimes. I have a couple neighbors that are moving out. A tree that I love just was chopped down. I think it was diseased. Somebody put up a really cool lending library in one of the neighborhoods nearby as well. So neighborhoods are always changing. So we are always changing, and we're part of a broader neighborhood as well, not just our church, but also our area church, MCEC, the organization that held the meetings, and also MC Canada. And these organizations are always changing as well.
Did you hear about the changes they want to make?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about them?
I am.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to simplify this somehow.
Good luck.
Thank you. Some of the changes that were talked about at the meetings were things like our society seems to be becoming more secular all the time. We seem to be moving away from God sometimes, and from the church as an important body in our communities. So, and other things are happening as well. Some churches have a decline in membership. The church doesn't necessarily play the same role in our lives as it did in our parents' lives.
Yeah, we still sing hymns.
We do.
Okay, lots of hymns.
And, yeah, Stuart wasn't too keen on hymns, but...
He's British. You want to tell that story?
We'll get to that.
So just let me wrap up here for a minute. So I'm going to have the next slide on here. This is just a rough multicolored slide of where we fit in. So we have the local congregations like HMC in the middle, MCEC and other area churches, the next ring around, and then Mennonite Church Canada is the outer ring. So 4 years ago, MC Canada... and five area churches around Canada, including MCEC, commissioned the Future Directions Task Force to see how we work together across Canada. So the report sees local congregations in the middle as centers of worship and faith formation, supporting and caring for each other actively engage the centers of mission in terms of both local and global witness. The next ring, MCEC and other area churches, of equipping and serving local congregations and their pastors, helping them to adapt to the changes in our society. And the outer ring, MC Canada, bringing us together around a common covenant for mission and ministry. But this means the changes are coming. So, for example, you know how we try to send delegates to the MC Canada meetings all the time? That's going to change. Instead of local congregations sending delegates to these MC Canada meetings, MC Canada is planning to be run by a national board made of representatives from each area church, like MCEC, and they're going to work together to help congregations to get the resources they need and to be strong and healthy. We'll still get together as local congregations, but maybe every 2 years instead.
Hang on, local congregations meeting with Mennonite Church Canada or local congregations with just MCEC?
It's a little bit unclear.
I think there were a lot of things that were a little bit unclear. The discussion around my table was that mostly we didn't know exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
The one that got me was they said they wanted to suspend all the bylaws.
For 2 years.
For two years. In order to help MC Canada make these changes. So, and I was wondering about that too. It's not entirely clear what that might mean. What I did get is that there's going to be some significant changes.
And the pace of the change, I thought, was, let's say, talked about in a couple of very different ways. So there were some folks who were talking about how much kind of more efficient and aligned and painting a very rosy picture about where all this was going to go. And then the finance guy, I don't recall the name of that particular neighbor, but he thought that maybe if MC Canada ran out of money before 2 years was up, that this would all just kind of happen toot sweet.
And remember the guy from Petticodiac? The guy from Petticodiac. Petticodiac, he said, well, if we're not sending delegates and local churches, what's going to happen to the voice of the churches that maybe are on the margins?
Hmm.
What's going to happen to their ability to be heard? So there were some wrinkles to all this as well, and we're going to have to see how this plays out. And in fact, at the meetings, there was a proposal, there was a motion that we had to revise a bit to really incorporate feedback from local congregations because we want to make sure that all of our voices are heard.
That motion worked well, though. Quite often you go to these things, and there's an amendment, and an amendment to the amendment, and an amendment, and somebody who is smarter than the rest of them said, all of you come up to the front, bring your tablets. They rewrote that motion on the spot. Took, what, 50 minutes, and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be there for a weekend doing those things sometimes.
So there are some changes coming. There is going to be feedback. And the plan is to have a more fully developed proposal no later than 2018, so in 2 years' time. And the intent here is for MC Canada to be better able to equip congregations to be a stronger witness, to help local congregations to be stronger and more financially viable. And we'll have to see how this happens. In July, the MC Canada meetings will discuss this further. So I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Well, I understand that you're going to Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm looking at this thing, it looks like a bullseye to me, and we're smack in the middle of it.
Yes.
That means you're going to be taking shots at us. I'm not liking the feeling of that.
Oh, yes,
so,
I did.
So when you get there, speak up strongly for the local congregations.
Will do. Yeah. So now, do you guys have any things that you want to talk about here?
We had fun.
I taught a lot.
Yeah, we had fun.
You had fun? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You want me to say something now? You're looking at me.
You could. Yeah. I had fun, too.
Okay.
You can talk about the fun you had.
I didn't. I heard what you guys heard, but I heard something different. This wasn't a home church for me. I wasn't born a Mennonite. I found it quite late in life. But what drew me to it was a statement that I heard. I think the second or third Sunday was there, and someone said to me, "I am accountable to you, and I am accountable for you." Boy, that rung true with me.
Yeah.
That just, it just, people say, well, so what do Mennonites do? I'm accountable to you, I'm accountable for you. Those are the words that brought me to the Mennonite community. It was clear to me that what they meant. Putting them in practice took a little longer. But when I moved from Toronto to Burlington, I was in Burlington for about a year, year and a half before I learned that there was a Mennonite church in Hamilton because Burlington didn't have one. I couldn't get here fast enough. can remember sitting back over there somewhere and hearing the names Warkinton, Enns, Epp. I'm home. They're all here. One of the things that we did here in the past 6 or 7 months was pull together a group of people to look at a thing called a visioning statement. We're going to put together another visioning statement. And that came after the decision not to do something to the front of the church. During the vision statement exercise, what became fairly clear was that we didn't really have a vision. The document we've got doesn't have all that much in terms of call to action. We're going to do something. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're good at supporting things. We raise money fast. Boy, we raise the money for the Syrians that are coming here. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the money's in the bank. But the sense of community, what kind of community are we? We don't a few of us live in the neighborhood, but not many of us. We mostly drive here. So when we say community, what do we mean? And in John 15, verse 16, the words go, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I wondered, what are we asking here? Where is it we want to go? During the conference in Leamington, I think came what they call it RLC. For some reason, these guys always give acronyms to something, RLC. RLC stood for Relearning Community. And they want us to relearn what community is, how we work with community, how we be community. Stuart Murray, who Matt's, my new neighbor, is going to tell you about Stuart. We gave him a tough time. Stuart sees himself more as an Anabaptist than he does a Mennonite. But did he learn something? Did we teach him anything?
I think we had, it became pretty clear we had different perspectives and I think a different background, a different context. And he was bringing, I think, a big challenge for us to think about how we could go out into the community and saying that in a context where fewer and fewer people are coming to the church, that the church needs to go out and to find the people where they are. I think he was speaking very much from his context and in ways that were kind of challenging to us. So one of the things that I think he said that he knew would be very inflammatory and was intended to be was that he said we should be looking for things that we could stop doing. What could we let go of in order to make room for mission? And so one of the things he was asking is, you know, there's a lot of churches that spend a lot of time on your Sunday morning worship, on sermons and songs, I think is what he called it. And he was not super big on that. He thought, you know, from Stuart's perspective, we sang hymns about once a month, that would be enough. And of course, we at Leamington responded to his message with a hymn.
Beautiful four-part harmony.
Yeah, it was lovely. Lovely.
But he also said, you spend most of your time and your money on your churches.
On buildings, yeah. And he was worried about the idolatry of church buildings and separating the word church into the church that we do versus the church buildings that we have.
He mentioned a book. He mentioned a book written by a woman named Phyllis Tickle, who I didn't just learn about over the weekend that she died a while ago. How many people have read or heard of The Great Immersions? Read it. Go online, go to YouTube. She's got 3 hour-and-a-quarter lectures. You never get the sense that she's boring you. Absolutely fascinating woman. What she said is that the Christian church goes through changes. About every 500 years, there's a very significant change. I'm not a good enough historian to fully agree with her or disagree with her, but boy, she makes some very, very strong arguments. What she said was that we're on the cusp of the next change. She dates it, or the academic community dates it, as around 9/11. And the biggest force pushing that are the millennials. And when we were talking during in adult education classes, there was that constant looking for, do we understand the millennials? How many of them are amongst us? Because they're the ones who are apparently driving the direction we're going to go in. Well, out of the great emergence and the change taking place in the Christian church, and as Stuart said, we're not the majority anymore. In fact, we're not even a strong minority. We're getting to the point where there are many, many more people involved in religious communities than there are Christians. The Christians are a very small part of it. That didn't go down that well with that audience. In fact, I don't think that audience believed him. Did you get that sense?
Yeah.
They're saying, well, that's your opinion, but not ours, because we're a small group. He once asked at one of the tables, he said, what are you prepared to give up? I mean, if there's going to be a change, you've got to give up something. You remember what he suggested? Give up the word Mennonite. Well, what? That's who we are. Well, is it just that? He shook a few people up with that one, I'll tell you. Do you think he'd be invited back? I don't know. I like the guy.
Yeah?
He's quite the guy, but here's something there. Well, MCEC has got this initiative called Relearning Community. And what they're doing is this. They're going to different, or saying to different churches, if you can pull together a group of 3, 4, 5 people that want to talk about relearning community, understanding what community is to your congregation, and if you can find 3, 4, 5 people in your church, we'll link you up with 3, 4, 5 people in other churches. We're calling those cohorts. 2 have been formed. One's been going for about 1.5 years. The other one's going for about 8 or 9 months. It's intensive. It's a 2-year program. And then they take you a step further, a 2-year program working with a group of people quite intensively, weekend retreats and that kind of thing. They argue then the objective is once that group has done their 2 years of work, the intention then is to attempt to change the culture of your church and your community, and that's an 8 to 10 year job. And so is that what's meant by relearning community? I have no idea. A woman named Jen Steckley is heading this up and chatting with different people. I thought it had great potential. Where's it going to go? I have no idea. But Matthew tells us something. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the challenge before us, folks.
So
you want to add to that?
Yeah. So Stuart Murray had a lot of things to say about mission, and we also talked at MCEC about ongoing kind of church planting work within MCEC right now, and I got a couple of perspectives on that because there was the kind of formal presentation part up at the front where people were talking, and I was also billeted with a young man named Dimitri, who is I don't remember what the right term is. He is being mentored into a pastoral role in the Jane Finch community.
This is the kid with all the hair.
Kid with big hair. Very distinctive in that crowd. Yeah. He has kind of this big fro thing. It's awesome. He was really great, and it was great to be able to spend some time with him kind of separate from the larger group too, and we had a lovely time. So I'm going to circle back to Dimitri, but I'm going to kind of start here with Stuart Murray. Do you have an image of a church? Could you show me a picture of a church? Do you have that? Did that go to you? No? Okay, that's fine.
You goofed, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
So, nice to see you young guys goofing.
So Stuart Murray was talking a lot about the things that we can let go of and the things that we don't need to do in order to make room for mission, but he was starting from an assumption that the church is emptying out. And he's coming from England where that is very broadly the case. So they have a huge Church of England institution. I heard somebody recently talk about it as a public utility in England. It is the state church. It remains the state church. It has the same kind of like funding crises that their national healthcare system does. They have a parish church in every parish. If you are in England, you can go to a Church of England church. But they're emptying. Lots of people aren't going anymore. And in that context, they talked a little bit about how for folks who are doing kind of non-Church of England work, for people who are in a minority position there, it's a little tough to get things going. The Anabaptist community in England is very small. They don't generally have churches. They don't generally have buildings. They are doing missional work, and they don't have structures that they're working out of. They're maybe working with kind of these empty parish churches to see if they can use their spaces when they need to. But I was listening to what is she? She's a sociologist who studies religion in England. She works, Gracie Evans, I think, out of Exeter. And she was saying that although the parish churches are emptying out, there are 2 church groups in England that are actually doing really well and that are growing. So there are very evangelical, very conservative churches, and there are the city high churches. So there are the big kind of, your Westminster Abbeys and stuff, the big central cathedrals in the towns and in the cities are actually doing very well. And so what she was saying is, in their context, the local parish churches, where you kind of go to a little place in your local community, no one's showing up anymore. But in places that are experientially driven, in very charismatic churches where there are like there's a profound and very modern experience, or in places where there's a very big historical experience, you go into, you know, a really iconic building, a building where the architecture has been designed to make you feel as though you're in a place, and there is an organist and a choir and the whole bit. People are going to those places. So it's not that the church is entirely emptying out, it's that people are looking for different experiences than they've been able to find.
Phyllis Tickle made a good point on that. in the YouTube things, and I'm going to type them up and find some way to get them out to you, because these are really worth paying attention to. She made a point. There's a magazine called Publishers Weekly that has great influence within the publishing industry. It never had a religion editor. Mm-hmm. They asked her to be the religion editor. And she threw out some statistics. In a six-year period, the increase in books that would be termed religious books grew 548%.
Well, so and
something that, is going on.
Yeah, that totally lines up. The other thing that, that Gracie Evans was saying is that the number of people who are going to church is declining, but if you dig into the statistics, the number of people who say they have an experience of God or that they relate to God has not changed at all. So people are just looking for that experience elsewhere. They're finding books. I mean, goodness, if all you were going to your parish church was for a sermon, you can Google or YouTube sermons from anywhere, any denomination, anything that pleases you in an instant. So you don't need to get up early on Sunday morning. You can just stay at home. Like, that's not the part that people need to come to church for. That's easily accessible. And so I want to ask kind of a couple of questions about where this call to mission takes us, because I think Stuart Murray's not wrong. Like, there are problems in some churches, but some churches are doing very well. But if we go out into the world to bring people into the church, what are we bringing them into if we don't have anything left? So if we abandon our church structures and our church traditions. So I had a great opportunity to be completely lost in Leamington. I'd never been to an area church gathering. I showed up, there was a lot of action, and I have to say it's really set up for people who've been there before and know what's going on, and I was not one of those people. So it was there was a lot of action. It was not clear if there was assigned seating or not assigned seating, and I didn't really know anybody, but everybody clearly knew everybody else. One of those. But then the heavens opened up, and Alyssa's family was there, and Alyssa's sister and her mom kind of took me under their wing and tucked me into a table, and everything was fine after that. And we had the name badges, so everybody starts with looking at the Mennonite last name, saying, oh, phrase, were you raised in the church? And then we start to look for the family connections, we play the Mennonite game. And as it turned out, the lady who was playing accompaniment for the choir on the second day, she's the sister of Ed Hildebrandt, who was friends with my parents in Steinbeck. I used to go play with their kids. And the folks that I was billeting with, who I'd never met, her sister lives in the same building as my aunt and uncle in Altona, and they've gone to the same church for decades. So we have connections, right? That's a very familiar place to get to. And I could get there pretty quickly. But Dimitri, who I was billeting with, he couldn't. So the nature of their church plant in Jane Finch is that they're trying to build up pastoral people, leaders in the community as they already exist. So Dimitri is not ethnically Mennonite. He does not have a Mennonite last name. And he grew up in the community where this church plant was and has been for quite a while. And so he's being mentored and he's taking kind of distance theology stuff. And he's, you know, very thoughtful person, very intelligent. But, you know, there were parts, especially of the billeting experience, where it was very clear that I could plug in ways that he couldn't. And to talk to him about his church experience too, so like he's in a Mennonite church in Jane Finch, but they don't really do music as part of their worship because they don't have anybody with musical talents in their church. That's not something that they have going on. So sometimes they play songs off of YouTube and stuff, like they don't not have any music at all, but that's not a core part of their worship experience. And he's come to the area church gathering a number of times, but I have to say my sense is that he's not super socially plugged into that community either. And I think, you know, my first experience of meeting almost everybody was looking for those personal family and ethnic connections where he can't do that. And I don't think he's unique in that experience.
You were able to do that we were actually in Kingsville, weren't we? We weren't in Leamington, we were in Kingsville.
Oh, okay, possibly. Right? I don't know.
Is that where we were?
I'm not really sure.
All right. Okay. Anyway, because I never get to town. You were able to connect out there because there was a common heritage, a common culture.
Sure.
Are we able to use that here within our community? How do we pull our community in? We have people from the community who are using the building, but they're just using the space. They're renting the space. So where's our connection with community? And I can't identify and I can't see it. I come here, I meet people I know, I do things, this is great for me. But us in community, I don't have a sense of that. And yet when we all went to this conference, we knew who we were, amongst, and we had no problems making it work. So I think there's something there for us to learn. I'm not quite sure what it is, but that disparity between the two.
Well, and I think the sense that I got from the folks talking at my table in their various churches, and completely varied folks who were in big communities and rural communities, big churches, small churches, lots of folks were asking the same sorts of questions that we were asking during the visioning process about how to connect with local community. And lots of folks were struggling with what to do with that and what that meant. I don't think that there were any really clear or easy answers.
What do you think?
Well, the question is, what does this all mean? We've all had experiences, mostly I think good, positive, some questions, you know, some wrinkles in our experiences. But just to bring this all together, I deeply believe that God is calling us to be neighbors in ways that move beyond shallow indifference to meaningful, to move towards meaningful engagement at local, regional, and national levels. And this includes our church, this includes MCEC, MC Canada, which is being reshaped a bit. The story that we heard before we began talking here was from Matthew. And the same story is in the book of Luke. But in the book of Luke, the expert in law says, well, who then is my neighbor? And here's how Jesus responded. Jesus responds to the question. And this is the story about the Good Samaritan. He says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert in law replied, the one who had mercy on him. So here's the key words here. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So we need to practice being neighbors. We need to practice being engaged and caring for each other. We are being called to open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to God and to each other. And the work of local congregations like HMC, of MCEC, and of MC Canada are expressions of the work that we are called to do. We are neighbors. Welcome home.